iTunes International. Virus free.
Around the world and down your street. Adam Devlin. Pick of the week.
This is Bond iTunes International broadcasting around the world. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia. How you doing? Adam Devlin is our Australian political correspondent, but he's also our music guru. Adam, it's time to change hats, please.
Yes, done. The beret is on.
The beret is on! Okay, before we get into your pick of the week this week, your musical pick of the week, we're just talking off air about laksa. You're having laksa for dinner tonight.
I am, yes.
And what intrigued me was that I was just talking to my long-suffering girlfriend, and she said that Melissa, who's a friend of her family's and also our other Victorian correspondent,
yes.
Melissa Grima, her favourite food is laksa. And I thought, that's a thing. That's got to be a reason for Adam and Melissa to get together.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll have to organise that. Well, you'll have to organise that.
I'll organise that.
Because Rachel's not there anymore.
Once she's back in Melbourne. She's not here at the moment, is she? She's still in Sydney?
No, she's travelling tomorrow, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right, so she's on her way home.
She's on her way home. So just keep in touch with her through WhatsApp or whatever. Okay, pick of the week. As we were saying off air, two very talented ladies and two very sexy ladies, Adam.
Yes. One of them many, many, many of our listeners will already be aware of and familiar with, and the other one maybe not so. Mm. The first one, of course, is one of the world's biggest selling recording artists of all time, multi-Grammy winner, an absolute idol of my own, Olivia Newton-John. Mm-hmm. She has a new single out at the moment, and it's a duet, with her daughter, Chloe Latanzi. Who, of course, is the result of her marriage to Matt Latanzi.
Yes, obviously Italian.
Well, American.
Italian extraction, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Her only child, she only had the one child, mm-hmm. Olivia. And Chloe's had a troubled life. She suffered from anorexia as a teenager. Oh. And then in her early teens, she suffered substance abuse. So she's a bit of an addictive personality.
But do you think that's related to her mother being so famous? I always ask. I see people, you know, going on television saying, "Oh, I'm an alcoholic or I was a drug addict." They never. I think there are people who are fixing them, the psychologists or whatever,
yeah.
tell them that you can't say it's because you're famous, and that's interesting. But I always think that if I was interviewing them, I would ask, "Is it because you're famous? Is it because her mother's famous?"
Look, Chloe's. She hasn't spoken a lot about it, but she has given a few interviews over the years in regards to her issues. Basically, she has said that when she was growing up, there were a lot of times when you know, to connect to her mother, because her mother was travelling so much, she'd put Grease or Xanadu in and watch the movie, and that was how she felt connected to her mother.
Oh, that's a bit sad, isn't it?
It's very sad. Now, she did travel a lot with Olivia as well, but when, you know, she said, you know, when I wasn't traveling with Mum, I missed her, so I'd watch one of her movies.
Was her mother separated from... When did her mother separate from...
It was mid-90s, so Chloe was just before teenage years. Basically, what happened is she had her first bout of cancer.
And we're talking, obviously, about Olivia, not...
Yes.
Just thought I'd mention
Yes, Olivia had her first bout of breast cancer in the early 90s.
That long ago?
Yeah. And she moved her world to her farm in Byron Bay in New South Wales. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, Matt and Chloe came with her. Matt was an American actor. His career was just starting to take off in Hollywood. And so... their marriage fell apart here in Australia.
Gosh.
And, you know, Chloe... Olivia Newton-John, during the 70s and 80s, was generally considered as one of the most beautiful women on the planet.
Well, I concur.
Mm. That's got to be hard for any teenage girl to grow up knowing that my mother is considered one of the most beautiful women.
Is a sex symbol around the world.
Yeah. So... you know, that's got to play havoc on a young girl's psyche.
And also, you know, if she was, I don't know what age she was when she actually came to Australia, but Australia is so far away, it must have been isolating for her as a kid.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then when they did return back to America, and she decided she wanted to be a singer, she actually got a recording contract, and she recorded, or she wrote an album. But then her anorexia kicked in, and she went substance abuse kicked in, and she had to go off into therapy and into rehab, and so that whole her whole career sort of faltered at the beginning because of the situation she was in. But a couple of years ago, 5 years ago, she recorded a song with Olivia called "Have to Believe," and it was a dance song.
Yes. We actually featured that here on Pick of the Week.
We did, yes. Mm. It was a remake of Olivia's hit from Xanadu called Magic.
Yeah,
That's right. Chloe rewrote the verses.
She kind of hip-hopped it up to the year 2018 or whatever it was.
And that went number one on the dance charts in America.
Yeah, that is quite amazing.
First mother-daughter combo duet to ever go number one on anywhere in America.
That's amazing. I just want to do a timeline thing here. When did Chloe, how long was she in Australia for as a child before she moved back to LA, I assume?
They were in Australia for a couple of years.
Mm.
So her primary school years for her predominantly are memories of Australia.
Right.
She went back to America and pretty much left school.
What age was she?
Mid-teens.
Good Lord. Did she not do, a leaving cert if you're listening in Ireland, or, A-levels if you're listening in the UK?
Pretty much
HSC if you're listening in Australia.
She left school as soon as she could.
So, right.
And the reason being, she was determined to be a singer.
Yeah.
Considering the musical gene in her family...
Mm.
Her mother's a singer, her auntie was a singer, several of her cousins are singers, professional singers. She decided that she was going to be a singer like her mother.
Mm.
And went, well, what? I don't need a formal education for this.
What do you think of that, Adam? You know, I was, you know, who is that girl from, I can't think now, Harry Potter, what's her name?
Emma Stone?
It's not Emma Stone. No. She's English. Anyway.
Emma Watson?
That's it. Thank you. of course, Harry Potter. She started Harry Potter when she was only 9 years old, right? And now she's 30. Go figure. Despite all her fame around the world, she actually didn't only finish school. She went to college and got a degree.
Yeah.
And I just want to just play that off against Chloe, because... Was she just not interested in, furthering her education? I realize that she was pretty safe if she has a good voice, and she's got a very famous mother, and she's in the industry already. But I just find it strange that she didn't want to further her education.
And she's I'm going to be quite blunt here, Henry. Mm-hmm. Olivia Newton-John is filthy rich.
Yes.
Chloe's her only daughter.
Yes.
Chloe's career aspirations are all within the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a formal education for that.
No.
She's not going to need a formal education for money.
Mm-hmm.
Why do it?
Yeah.
If you're not interested in it, why do it?
If she's not interested in it, why do it indeed? I was just wondering, if I look at Emma Watson and I just see that she was interested, but maybe Chloe just thinks, ah, don't worry about it. And she can read and write.
Her fiance and her have their own. They've got their own business running now. They grow marijuana in California.
Don't you love that?
Which is illegal.
I know.
Like they are.
I know.
Legal growers of
totally
marijuana.
Totally legal. Yes.
Yep. They actually supply marijuana to Olivia for her cancer treatment.
Yes. That's fantastic, and maybe that's one of the reasons they're doing that. Just before we get into this pick of the week, how is Olivia?
She's doing ridiculously well.
Fantastic.
For a 72-year-old person going through her third bout of terminal stage 4 cancer, she's thriving. She calls herself, "I'm not a cancer survivor, I'm a cancer thriver."
Oh, I like that. And just to briefly mention, she's got in Melbourne, I think she's got a centre to help people's well-being, I guess.
Yes, she's got her own hospital here in Melbourne, which is a world-leading treatment and Research Center for Cancers,
mm-hmm.
Doing a lot of really important work. And she's just this late last year set up a new foundation in America called the Olivia Newton-John Foundation, where she's looking at raising money to look at better ways and more holistic and healthier ways of treating cancer.
Yeah.
Because she believes that cancer, that the chemotherapy is not a great way to treat cancer.
But she obviously has had to take it.
She's had radiation. She's had a mastectomy and she's had radiation.
Yeah.
She has had some chemotherapy over the years. In I think in her first and second battle, she had chemotherapy. But, you know, chemotherapy is a poison to the body. I mean, it's not a very nice thing to go through.
Yeah.
And so she wants to come up with some way, naturally or holistically, of getting a similar result to chemotherapy without causing the damage to the body that chemotherapy creates.
Yeah, okay. We better get going on this. Right, now tell me about this new song that she has with her daughter Chloe.
It's called Window in the Wall, and it's a ballad, it's a power ballad. Now Olivia had just before we went into COVID, Olivia had said to people that she was pretty much finished recording. That the rest of her life, you know, she might turn up and do the occasional thing here and there if she's asked and it's something she wants to do, but she said basically her career as a recording artist was over, because she was devoting her time to cancer,
yeah,
both getting better from it and coming up with different alternate ways to treat it. Then she said, I've seen a couple of interviews. This only came out on Friday. It's Monday here now, when we're talking. So this is only 2 days old, this song, so far. And she said that she met this woman at a clinic, and she said to her, I've got a song that you need to record. My nephew has written a song that you need to record. And she said it in a couple of interviews that I've seen this today, actually, where she said she just sort of cringed and went, you know, she's had so many people over her career come up to her and give her a song and say, my son, my nephew, my partner have written this. It's an amazing. You've got to record it. And she says, you know, pretty much 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, they're crap. and she said, so she got this and she was like, oh, and she read the
another
lyrics.
One.
She said, actually, the lyrics are good. Let me hear this. I want to hear what this sounds like. And so they played a demo to her. And she said that she actually was in tears at the end of it.
Where do these people come from?
Well,
are they just people off the street kind of thing?
Well, a chance meeting. She met this woman in a medical centre.
Right.
The woman said, here's this song.
And she must be so used, like so many successful singers have people doing that to
constantly.
Them. Yeah.
I saw a concert years ago with Darren Hayes. Actually, it was Darren Hayes, the singer of Savage Garden, one of Australia's biggest pop groups in America. In fact, my very first date with the LSB was to a Darren Hayes concert.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, and I actually met him after the concert, which was amazing. But anyway, that's a different story altogether. But I saw an interview with him years ago, and he said that every day he gets tapes sent to him or CDs.
The equivalent of tapes, yes.
Yeah. And he said he no longer opens them. He won't even open them anymore. They just go straight in the bin. And he said the reason for that is, he said, if I've only got to listen to a song that somebody sent me, and then in 10 years' time I write a song and it sounds something like that song, and
they could get sued. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, so unrequested material from him, he said, I don't even look at it. It goes straight to
the end. And I don't blame him, because that's rife.
Yeah. And Olivia's pretty much the same, but something happened about this, and something told her to read the lyrics to this, and she said that by the time she finished reading the lyrics, she was in tears, and she knew that she had to record this song. It was written as a solo song, not as a duet, but she was determined to make it a duet, and she said she had a number of people in mind to record it with, but the very first person on the list and the top of the list was her daughter Chloe. So she said she decided that she would ask Chloe if she would like to do this with her. Now, it's a very different sound to what Chloe normally records. Chloe normally is in the dance or house music era.
Yeah.
arena. Olivia's definitely not in that. She's more in your adult contemporary sort of middle of the road type genre. Olivia said, look, I had a number of people, if Chloe said no, I had a number of people that I was there to ask if they wanted to record this with me, but she said thankfully Chloe said yes.
Wouldn't anyone have said yes?
Absolutely.
But of course Chloe's her daughter, but she, you don't sound like there's nepotism going on here. You sound like she was the one.
Look, up until this song, I've never really thought that much of Chloe Latanzi as a singer. She's produced a couple of good songs, but her voice as such, I've never really thought that it was like, this is Olivia's daughter? Like, that's the voice that comes out of Olivia Newton-John's daughter?
What was it? Not as good? Is that what you're saying?
No, it just didn't seem... It didn't have the qualities.
Yeah, but it's really hard to you know, live up to Ellen J's voice.
Absolutely. Universally loved, held up as one of the greatest voices of all time. And then you come along as her daughter and try to be a recording artist, like nightmare material. But on this song, now Chloe's a bit older. She's in her mid-30s now. And this song, she sounds amazing. When I heard this on Friday, it actually brought me to tears.
Sorry, I must ask you, I'm not sure if you explained this. What's the song about?
It's called Window in the Wall, and it's pretty much based on what the world has been going through over the last sort of 12 months.
I was going to say 4 years, but no, 12 months works.
Particularly what America has gone through over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
So okay. It's absolutely political. It's social and political, and it's of our time. Can I just read you a couple of lyrics from it?
Absolutely.
Has this world forgotten how to love? Are we blinded by the hate we let inside? No one's giving in or giving up. The lines are drawn and there's no compromise. This isn't who we are. It's time for us to start looking for a window in the wall. So that's the theme of the song, is we've got, as a society, we've got to a place where we're at loggerheads with each other constantly. No one's prepared to give any ground. Nobody's prepared to compromise anything. We've built these walls between us. Isn't it time now that we just stop, reflect?
I can't wait to hear this.
And then a window in the walls. And maybe there's another line in here. Here we go. Looking for a window in the wall, maybe we can see the other side and find we're not so different after all. Like, it's powerful stuff.
I've not heard this song yet. So anything else to say?
Just that it stunned me. This is the number one selling video on iTunes at the moment and has been since it was released on Friday.
Really?
Yeah. It's outselling Justin Bieber. It's outselling Miley Cyrus. It's outselling...
Oh, my God. Of course, it hits on a nerve, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In America particularly.
Yeah. The song... It's because it came out Friday, it has missed all of the official charts for this week because they're calculated on a Thursday.
Yeah.
So it won't hit any official charts until next week.
But that's actually good because you've got 7 days for this to seep into the world, you know?
Yes. But it's already being picked up by radio in America and in England. And it is charting in pretty much every country in the world that has an iTunes chart. This has hit the charts in iTunes already. So I would expect this to be a bona fide commercial hit for her and Chloe in America, you know, here in Australia and in the UK and in parts of Europe. It's an amazing song. It's a beautiful song. Like, as I said, the first time I heard it, it actually brought me to tears.
Yes.
Not because it was Olivia Newton-John, just because of the lyric in the song.
Can you present this for us now?
Absolutely. Look, the last 4 years, and particularly the last 12 months, have been very trying and tiring on a lot of people. There's been a lot of people have suffered a lot of personal loss during this period. Families have been ripped apart during this period, whether it be through COVID or politics. Families have been broken up. Relationships have ended. Friendships have ended, and maybe it's time that we just draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough. we've built enough walls. Let's try and find some windows in these walls so that we can then get through to the other side. And then when we're on the other side, we can look back and rip the walls down again. It's Olivia Newton-John, of course, needs no introduction. One of the greatest voices ever recorded, in my opinion. Chloe Latanzi is killing it on this song. She has never sounded better. For the first time ever, I've actually heard fragments of Olivia Newton-John in her voice, which I'd never heard before. So that was refreshing for me. I actually think this ballad is the song of our times, and I've had it on constant play all weekend. I love it. I think you'll love it. Here it is. It's Olivia Newton-John and Chloe Latanzi with what I think is one of the most impressive songs released this year to date, although it's only 25 days. But here it is. Chloe Latanzi, Olivia Newton-John, Window in the Wall.
Forgotten how to love? Are we blinded by the hate we let inside? No one's giving in or giving up. The lines are drawn and there's no compromise. This isn't who we are. Looking for a window in the wall. Maybe we can see the other side and find we're not so different after all. Looking for a window in the wall. Can grow as cold as stone, then become the borders we can't cross. The fertile fields of trust where love had grown slowly start to die when hope is lost.
For Bond 9 Tunes International, and I talked with Tony Mantle, courtesy of Livewire. Welcome, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Your name is well connected with Nashville, the home of country music. You are involved in many projects, a singer, songwriter, record producer, and manager. Where are you at the moment?
Well, I still do my recordings, and I still manage people. and still trying to develop the singers and get them where they want to go and hopefully will get. And then I'm fortunate enough to work on some of my own projects as well.
Before we speak about your latest project, did you intentionally start music because of your passion in music from school?
Well, when I was in high school, I was actually part of the high school band. And then from there, when I got out of school, I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston, Massachusetts, to learn a few things. I didn't go there to stay for a full four-year course, but I just wanted to pick up a few things, learn some things. And then I joined a local band, and it just started growing and building, and I decided that I wanted to take a shot and see if I couldn't do this for a living.
You joined the band with Ronnie McDowell?
Well, that was the first band I had was just a local band in my local hometown. But then after I decided that I wanted to give it a try, I wound up going to Nashville with a couple of friends of mine. And through just different things that happened, I wound up working with Ronnie for a short period of time.
Did you enjoy that moment?
Oh, yeah. This was actually right before Elvis died, and he was doing pretty much the same thing as everyone else was doing, trying to get his music out there and develop his style. And then things broke in a good way for him, and he became a country music star, and even today he does shows around the country and stays fairly active.
What did you do after that?
Once I finished with Ronnie, I went back to doing my own personal music and trying to develop myself as an artist and trying to get out there to radio and build my name and see if I couldn't do the same thing that some of the other stars were doing.
So how did you come to know country music you would concentrate more of?
Well, it was kind of ironic, actually, because when I first started out, I really wasn't a country fan. I mean, I liked some country, but I wasn't a huge fan of country. I was more Eagles, middle of the road. So what happened is when I went to Nashville, I wasn't expecting a whole lot. I wound up meeting a lot of great people. The studios were much easier to work in. The atmosphere was very relaxed. And I really fell in love with the city and the people. So from there, I started commuting back and forth, doing my studio work and working on records and my recordings. And then eventually, it just wound up that I wound up making the move to here to Nashville to pursue production development, management, and ultimately working my label to get other singers out there and help them with their goals.
You started your label, Plateau Music, 15 years ago. Is that correct?
Yes, I moved to Nashville in 1993, and Plateau Music at that point was just a production development company for singers, songwriters, that type of thing, but it wasn't a record label. And then in 2005, I had a chance to promote a singer to radio, and I turned it into an independent record label, and from that point on, that's what it's been known as.
I interviewed Tom Cole. That was
yeah.
A very good gesture of you. You did that voluntarily because you want to help, because the story was so sad, and you helped him with all the costs and producing the song. Subsequently, the song did really well on the chart.
Yes, it was a situation of where Tom and his brother was actually from my area, and I knew them, and then I hadn't seen his brother for 15, 20 years. And then one time right before Christmas, I got a chance to see him. We reconnected and talked and just went over things that had been happening. And then it wasn't but 3 or 4 months later, I heard the sad news that he'd been killed in the line of duty. And so I just wanted to help the family any way I could. And the only way I really could help was because he was a musician. So I took some of his songs that he had written and had Tom, his brother, sing them. And then we put it on a CD. We sold the CDs, gave the money to the officer's wife, and then took it to radio and kind of got his name out there a little bit to help his family so that they would have some nice fond memories of their father or their brother or their husband, you know, having a song that he'd written actually on radio.
That's very inspirational. Since then, I interviewed Sam Austin, and his voice is so incredible. Love his voice.
Oh, he's good.
And Eris Weathersby, and formerly Bobby Wilson. All these artists that have benefited through your label, and you definitely have established a good name in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes, I've been very fortunate. I've got Sam at country radio here in the States. I've had Eris at the pop stations here in the States. I've just been able to get a lot of my artists out there and get them recognition and getting them some airplay and help, you know, build their careers. And I just took on, if anyone remembers Happy Days back in the 70s and 80s, Donnie Most, I'm producing him now.
I do remember him. I used to watch it as a kid.
Yeah, he's Ralph Mouth, the one that was always joking around, the comedian of the show.
I didn't realize he's also a musician.
Oh, yes, and he's got a very, very good vocal. He's done a few local shows and done a few shows in Florida and different places in the country. But this is the first time, and he's recorded an album before this, but this is the first time he's actually recorded this kind of style and that we're taking him to, and we're actually going to release him to radio probably next year at some point.
It's so nice working with people who are so versatile. They have so much talent, like yourself. You also play musical instruments, sing, manage people. It takes a lot of time and energy.
It does. It does. I mean, I have to watch over that they're making the right moves to benefit their career. We don't want them to make any lateral moves. We want to always make them forward. We always look out for people that would try and take advantage of a situation so that it doesn't push them back. We always have to take and keep the momentum so that they're always moving forward, even if it's just baby steps. We're moving forward, and then gradually we get to the point of where things start building and things start going better and we start getting name recognition and then all of a sudden we're seeing our accomplishments start to happen. And I've got a new singer that's going to be coming over here as soon as the pandemic's over so we can start recording. This is actually from the UK. And then after that, I'm always looking for new artists. I'm very selective. I don't just go out there and take people just to take them. I take them because I see potential on getting them to have opportunities and possibilities that if we put everything in place, that might turn out good for them.
The current artists that are under your label, Plateau Music, are we likely in the UK to see them coming over to perform?
That's my ultimate goal. I always, whenever I release a record to wherever it goes, whether it's here in the States or over in the UK or wherever it may land, my ultimate goal is to create a following there of people that like the artist and what they're doing and that eventually be able to work a small tour to where we can get them there to perform.
Your latest charity single called Why Not Me. It has a bit of a country flavor to it, isn't it?
It does. I actually started out taking a little more of the middle of the road pop, and then I put a steel into it to give it that kind of Eagles flavor. And so that way it could cross into pop or country and people can call it what they want as long as they like it. That's the main thing.
Did you compose the music to it?
No, I actually had a friend of mine that was a songwriter, and he sent it to me, and because I had I had recorded one of his songs that he had written with Christine Padua that I recorded about 5 or 6 years ago. And I liked the song, I heard it, and it was such an inspirational tune that it was saying exactly what I had been saying for the last 5 or 10 years, you know, on Facebook and my social media platforms, is never give up. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a dream, you know, keep pushing, because you never know when it could happen. And it doesn't matter if it happens, it only matters that it happens, you know. So if you're 25 or 55 or whatever, whenever it happens, as long as it happens, then don't ever give up and keep going.
That's very inspirational. You have involved in diverse music, R&B, pop, and rock music, but in particular, country music is your main focus in the last few years.
Well, I'm here in Nashville, so needless to say, most people that come here are country, although it has changed slightly. We've got more people of diverse styles of music coming here. But I get a lot of my singers that find me either through Facebook or internet or Google search or whatever, however they find me. And I get referrals from time to time. And it's pretty good, because I get such a diverse styles of music that come my way. And it humbles me, the fact that once we talk and we kind of go over a plan, when they decide that, yeah, okay, this is going to work, and then I can start working on their project, it's just very satisfying and rewarding that I can work with people and of different styles of music and still develop them to have some success.
Going back to the single you have just recorded, I understand most of the proceeds from the single will go to First Responders. What is this charity is set up for?
Well, when I first recorded the song, I was working on my own personal CD, which was just for my own pleasure, not for commercial use or going to radio, or I had no visions of taking this anyplace but just to friends and family. And a lot of my promoters that work with me on my varied artists would, you know, knew that I was working on it, and they say, we've got to hear what you're doing. So I said, well, I just finished this song, I really like it, I'll send it to you. So I sent them this song, Why Not Me, and all of them came back and said, you've got to release this. And I said, you're out of your mind. I said, I'm not going, you know, back to radio. I'm not going to tour. I'm not looking to do that. So why would I even think about going to radio? And every one of them said, this is such a positive song. It's got such a great message. People need to hear it now because of what we're in. So we discussed it, and I decided that if I was going to take something to radio again with my name on it, I've been very fortunate to have a good life here in Nashville. I wanted to help somebody, you know. So I wound up talking with the vice president of the Association of Police that liked me because of what I did for Tom and Eugene Cole a couple of years ago. And I told them what I was doing, and so we came up with a couple of different charities that what they do is they help the first responders, and another charity helps the first responders and their families. And we might, and it looks like we might even have the IAFF, which is the International Association of Firefighters, on board, so that we can help not only people here in the United States, but hopefully some people across the pond, and just help everybody that may need it because of what's going on right now.
And the latest single is awesome. You have a very rich tone of voice. Love your sound.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. We're working on a video right now on this song, and I've gotten pictures of firefighters and policemen and the EMTs and the 911 comm centers sending me pictures and different things, so that we're going to insert that into the video to show people that hey, these people that go out there every day and do what they do, they make our life a little bit safer. And there's times that we don't even think about them and until we need them. And then when we need them, we're very happy that they're there. So they're very selfless people. They go out, they work, you know, doing their jobs, and they make the world a little bit better because of what they do for us. I've got the song up on iTunes, Amazon, and Google right now. Hopefully we'll get some hits and get some response to it, and it'll touch people's hearts to where they'll buy the song, because it's $1.29, you know, and the way I tell people, hey, for $1.29, you can't buy a Coke, a coffee, or a candy bar.
That's true.
But you can spend $1.29 and help the people that help us. So collectively, we can all group together, and if we get enough of these, we can actually donate money to help these people, whereas individually, it doesn't seem like much, but if we get a bunch of people together buying this, downloading the song, collectively, we're going to make an impact and help people that help us. And I've got a website that's just www.tonymantor.com.
Thank you, Tony. It's been such a pleasure having you introduce the latest single.
This is Tony Mantor, and I want you to listen to my newest single, Why Not Me?
There's a mountain wide and high. It reaches halfway to the sky. In my heart, I know that I'm supposed to climb. Well, the fears down in my soul tell me I might lose control. No matter what they say, I'm climbing anyway. Why not me? Why can't I? I'll never know if I don't try. Yeah, I might fail, or I might fall. It's just a mountain after all. So why not me? Yeah, why not me? There's an ocean deep and blue. It stretches out in front of you. And on the other side is everything you've dreamed of. So say a prayer, then set sail. Stay the course, you will prevail. When the doubts start whispering, just lift your voice and sing. Why not me? Why can't I? I'll never know if I don't try. The storms may rage, the sea might roar. It's just an ocean, nothing more. So why not me? Why can't I? I'll never know if I don't try. Yeah, I might fail, or I might fall. It's just a mountain after all. Just an ocean, nothing more. Why not me?
This is Ling Pang for Bondi Tunes International, and I talked with Tony Mantor.
And indeed, this is Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around the world. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia. I'm currently away. So we've got mostly regular content, as in new content, on this show this week. But I want to put in Carol Cotter. Now, Carol Cotter is our language educator here on Bondi Tunes International. I interviewed her in 2015. the first broadcast she did on Bond iTunes International. Take a listen.
Carol Carter is our multilingual language educator, and she is Bond iTunes.
Bond iTunes, playing all over the planet. Now!
You're listening to Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting from Australia and around the world, and I'm now joined by Carol Cotter, our correspondent in southern Spain. She's also a language expert, but we haven't talked about language for a while. Carol, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Henry. Nice to be back again.
Now, we haven't had a chance to do a language lesson for quite a while because we keep coming up with other fantastic ideas to talk about. But we must do a language lesson again soon. We're on a mission. You and I and thousands of other people are on a mission to save a cow called Margarita. Tell me this story.
Mm-hmm. It's true. We are on a mission. And there's, as you said, thousands of other people. There's actually 166,000 people, as well as you and I.
Wow.
who are desiring the same result as us. And this is a cow who is in danger. The authorities want to kill her within the next few days. And all because she is a pet cow who didn't have the proper paperwork filled out. Mm. Because she's not living on a farm. She's not going to be eaten. She's not a livestock farm animal. So her owner didn't realize that he has to register her. And
Carol, whereabouts is this cow?
Of course, this is in Catalonia, in northern Spain.
Oh, yes, okay.
Northeast Spain. Mm-hmm. And
so the farmer didn't know that he had a limited time, is that right?
Well, he didn't know that he should register his cow.
Oh, right, okay. Mm-hmm.
So her human family, they have horses, and they thought that it would be okay to have a pet cow living on their horse farm, but apparently not. When one of the neighbors told the authorities that there was a cow living there, they fined the owner's 600 euros and told him that she had to die, that they would have to organize for her to be killed. Because it was illegal not to register her, and apparently as well because it wasn't appropriate that she was living on a place only suitable for horses. I don't understand, because
I don't understand
horses
that.
Need space. They're around the same size animal and eat similar things. I don't know. I think it's just an excuse. So the owner appealed the decision with the help of a sanctuary called Wings of Heart. And they didn't change their mind. They said the cow has to die within 10 days, and the fine rose to 3,000 euros. Mm-hmm. So quite a lot. And also, on top of that, the owner would apparently have to pay for the killing of the cow and the removal and disposal of Margarita's body afterwards as well. Mm. So a lot of financial pressure, as well as the loss of his beloved pet. And she's been living with them for 4 years.
Yeah.
And, originally she was born on a farm. Margarita is from the breed of fighting cows or fighting bulls, the ones who are bred for bullfighting.
Yeah.
And her mother died when she was very young. And so she was not going to reach an appropriate weight without her being nursed by her mother, apparently. Ah. And normally when this happens, the young cow is just killed immediately. But the owners of the farm had friends who lived in the countryside, the owners that we've been talking about, and they gave Margarita to her. And she has been living with them since she was a baby for the last 4 years. So she grew up around humans. She's very friendly, very affectionate. There are a number of videos online of her where you can see what she's like. Like, she's not dangerous at all. You can
I'm sure
her
not.
With children. She's like a big dog.
Right.
You see her with children and they're like touching her and rubbing her, and she's very, very adorable, very, very sweet and gentle. And she's just been around humans all her life. She hasn't been, on a farm or with other cows or anything like that.
Is there kind of a big brother thing going on in Spain and Catalonia? Like, do they have lots of rules and regulations that aren't necessary? As in this one, clearly.
I don't know. You know, it's a bit strange because Catalonia was the first region to ban bullfighting. So in some ways,
oh, the
irony. Very progressive.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Bizarre.
Making advances in some areas and then in others just being totally backwards and ridiculous. I mean, you know, I can understand, you know, maybe large animals have to be registered and, you know, I don't really, fine, like, you know, maybe dogs, people have to have a license to have dogs or, you know, things like that. I think it's fine to keep track of things, but, you know, just let the owner pay the fine and there's no need to kill the cow.
Absolutely not.
I think that's very unfair. The owner was always willing to pay the fine, but the when he originally got the fine of 600, he was willing to do the paperwork correctly, pay the fine, and even let Margarita go to live on another sanctuary, not the first sanctuary that helped him, but another sanctuary in Tarragona, which is near Barcelona, which is called El Hogar Pro Vegan. Hogar means home in Spanish. And they have a huge area. They have loads of animals, 30 hectares of land where they take in a range of animals from all sorts of abandoned, mistreated animals and things like that. They have everything: birds, sheep, horses, goats, cows, etc.
By the time we go to air, there'll only be days left, Carol.
Yes, there will be. I think Saturday is the last day, so they're really stepping up their effort now. 2 days ago, they changed the lawyer who was working on the case. So now they have the owner and the owner's family working together with the sanctuary where they want Margarita to go and live, which is El Hogar Pro Vegan in Tarragona. So they're working together with the lawyer. The first lawyer apparently wasn't really doing very well. She wasn't really up to
the
job. So they got a new lawyer who is apparently much better 2 days ago. And then today, which is Wednesday, this evening there will be a peaceful protest in Barcelona right in front of the town council. The building where these people are who make these decisions. I don't know, the town council building, I suppose, or the city
fair
council.
Enough. Town hall or something, yeah.
Yeah.
How much media attention is this getting?
It's getting quite a bit. For example, they were on one of the main stations in Catalonia, television stations, talking about the issue. There's I think there was a half an hour program about it with interviews with their owners and showing Elena Tova, the director of the sanctuary, just kind of explaining the situation and also with Margarita showing what she's like, that she really is just a family pet. You
have
know,
people,
she, that
have,
it would be
have,
so.
Have people put like videos up on YouTube and that kind of thing of Margarita?
Yeah, well, the sanctuary has their own YouTube channel.
Okay.
And they have a couple of videos of Margarita with her owner, with the children, all the neighbors. Like, she's good friends with all of the neighbors, the children, and things like that. And they call her Sweet Margarita.
Yes, Sweet Margarita.
Sweet Margarita. What's that
in Spanish? Or is it just call her by the
Sweet
English?
Dulce.
Dulce.
And Margarita actually means daisy, like the flower. Daisy is Margarita. So, it, you know, the way we always call cows Daisy in English?
Yes, indeed,
it's
yes.
Like Daisy.
Daisy the cow.
Yeah.
So Margarita the cow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the thing now, because we're on radio and not television, how do people go and find the petition to sign? Because I'm not going to read out a big, long address on the radio.
Yeah, the link is really long. Yes, it is. I've checked. It's very easy to find in Google. If you just type in change.org, Margarita, the first result there is the petition. It's in Spanish, but if you enter in, it gives you an option to read it all in English. And it has lots of information there about Margarita, about her life so far, about her owners, and about the sanctuary.
Well, let's hope this comes to a good ending and that Sweet Margarita goes on to live to be old and happy for a long time, along with the horses or wherever she ends up.
They want her owner agrees that he wants her to go to the sanctuary now, the 30 okay. hectare sanctuary, and so that's everybody wants that to happen. So that's the main aim now.
Surely the authorities will come to their senses on this. Is ridiculous. Carol, thank you so much for joining us briefly here on Bondi Tunes International once again.
Thanks, Henry.
From Australia, this is Bondi Tunes.
We'll be right back. The sun never sets on Bondi Tunes.